Hello, everyone. It's Anna Verzoni. Welcome to first one, literally on day one. And now we are heading into the end of week one, which was foundations and visioning, and then graduating on into the clarity week. So that's in week two. And I know that from the Facebook post, some of you have been like, oh, my gosh, I'm, like, literally just starting. I feel like I'm already behind. And I just wanted to nip that in the bud. So, first of all, that's how most people feel. I kind of go back and forth because when I deliver courses, I tend to over-deliver and I provide a lot of content. And that has the drawback of kind of like a fire hose thing where you're like, oh, my God, this is so much information. But I have found that when I didn't give all the information up front, people were anxious and ready to move on to the next one. So there's a middle way there, I'm sure, but I'm going to leave it up to you as to what your middle way is, because some people are like living and breathing this, and they're listening to it while they're driving, and then they listen to it at their lunch break, and they're doing thought work and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, no judgments, no anything. Just like you guys are doing what you need to do, okay? So before we jumped into sort of questions and live coaching and whatnot, I wanted to first do a little bit of teaching. So some of you sent in questions ahead of time, and I'll get to those because you weren't able to make the call. But I know that a lot of you will be listening to this recording. And for those of you that are on live, which there are many, I encourage you to raise your hand if you have questions or are struggling with these concepts or feel confused. So one of the things you may have seen me discuss in the Facebook group is the concept of thought work, which I will abbreviate in the Facebook group as TW, okay? And so thought work is basically where you are becoming aware of your thoughts, right? It's sort of a mindfulness practice. Like there's mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of emotions, mindfulness of thoughts. And you don't necessarily have to just meditate or have a mindfulness practice to become aware of your thoughts. You can do what I mentioned last week, which is a thought download, which is when you can sort of write down your thoughts that are buzzing around just as a big download, free form, no worries about correct sentence structure or anything, about whatever topic seems to be bothering you at the moment. So let me give you an example. I wrote a post today about one of my Facebook ads that has me on a camel in, I believe this particular picture was in Mongolia, and I was in the Gobi Desert. And because we always try to travel ethically and minimally, you know, we researched which companies would be good to do a supported trek through the Gobi Desert that treated their animals well and whatnot, because any outfitter, like even horseback riding, right, like can be have abusive practices. So it was really important to us that it was legit. Anyway, so we did that, and then I have this awesome picture of me on the back of a camel. And in one of my Facebook ads, I posted about this. I was like, hey, I didn't get to ride on this camel through the Gobi Desert and then climb the tallest peak of Mongolia and then get pregnant, like, in a yurt, basically, in Mongolia by being chicken shit, right? And, oh, my gosh, you guys, like, there are so many people that love that post. In fact, 99%, 99.9. But then I get these really mean kind of posts or comments or messages like, oh, you claim to think about mindfulness, yet you're riding camels through the desert. You're so stupid, or you're so evil. And I mean, it's really kind of intrusive to me, the extent to which people can take these things. And so, you know, my thing is, even though I've been doing this for a while, I can literally deal with negative feedback pretty well. I mean, I am just used to giving and receiving feedback in my professional careers, like as a climbing guide and as a nurse and whatnot. But I found it really interesting, like when I started becoming a life coach and entering into social media, like not having control over who I interacted with. Like basically I just put something out there and anybody that fucking Facebook wants to show it to can look at it and comment on it. Like there were just some really, there are people out there who don't communicate the way that I or most people I know communicate. Like they're really rude or mean or aggressive. And I tend to still have a very visceral reaction to that because I think partly because I grew up in an abusive family. And so even though I've worked through that, I still have a visceral response to really aggressive, angry behavior that I just need to become aware of. So, you know, I see these posts and I know on an intellectual level, like, whatever, right? I mean, I write about this all the time. I teach my clients about it all the time, whatever. Yet there is still the relative reality. So the ultimate reality is like, whatever, in the end, it doesn't fucking matter. Like, you don't even know these people. Who gives a fuck? But in the relative reality, it's like, oh, you're a human. You have an abusive history. This is creating a response in you. You need to pay attention to it, right? So it's like, it's not just like, oh, I know what I'm supposed to think about this and how I'm supposed to react and I'm just going to be like so cool about this. No, it's like, what's going on? Like, what's your history? What do you need right now? And so, you know, I really did a thought download. I took the time, you know, I sat down, took out a piece of paper, took out a pen, told my husband, I'm like, you got to watch Maya for a bit, my daughter, like, I need to deal with this. And the thought download is where you just write everything spinning through your mind. Like, oh, I know that in the end, this doesn't mean anything, blah, blah, blah. And like, this is what's going on. This is what's going on. Like, this is what to expect. This means I'm stepping up my game because more people are seeing me. More people are having opinions about me. This is a good thing. And, oh, I'm really scared. This reminds me of when my family member would get really upset at me and then eventually become abusive and I'm shaking and I'm scared, right? And even though like it doesn't intellectually make any sense and you just write all these things down or like, oh no, these like one out of 3,000, 4,000 people wrote something like literally one person. I don't even know what the percentage is of that. One person out of like 4,000, right? Well, I do, but it's like 0.00. For any, anyway, but it's like, oh, even though everybody else loves this, this one person says this, and that's what we focus on. So, you know, writing about that, like, oh, this means maybe I'm not good enough, right? Like, even though you know intellectually it doesn't make sense, write it down because it's swirling around in there somewhere. So you do your thought download, and then pick one, like, let's say you write for 3 minutes. I like to give a 3-minute minimum. You can write more, but a 3-minute minimum. No worries about sentence structure. You can write in bullet points or whatever. Then you look and I say, okay, what's the one that's creating the most reaction for me right now? Probably my, probably the one like, oh, I'm not good enough or something like that, right? Like us women, we tend to have, especially overachieving women, we tend to have a concept of like the fraud, right? The like imposter syndrome, like people are going to find out. And so like, you know, I work with that. So I put that in my key line. So the circumstances comment, right? Your circumstance is always something neutral, not mean Facebook comment. That's loaded. That person probably didn't think it was mean. They thought it was the truth. So you need to put it in a very neutral way, something that doesn't create an emotion in you. So I would just say comment. And then my thought that I'm choosing to work with is, you know, because this person doesn't like me, like I am not good enough. And it sounds crazy to say, right? Because I know that that's not true. But this is the work I do. So I'm just being really transparent about it. So then I say that. And then how do I feel? And I feel really unlovable, right? And when I'm unlovable, what do? I worry more about what else have I done that people don't like? What else has gone on that people don't like? And then guess what? I'm creating evidence that I might not be good enough and that other people don't like me. I'm just literally creating that evidence. And because I'm having all these negative thoughts, I'm not liking myself. I'm being harsh on myself. I'm self-criticizing. I am not liking myself. Here I am worried about other people liking me, and then I'm not liking myself. So then what I do, and this, you guys, I can do this almost automatically now. I hardly, like, sometimes I literally don't even need to sit down and write it because I've been doing this for so long now. But then, you know, when I'm feeling a physical response, like whether it's a rapid heart rate or shaking or something, I take the time to write it out. And then a lot of people like to jump into, well, let me change that thought and let me feel better. But the juicy part of this, y'all, is learning to be with that shitty feeling. So I could have, because I've done this so much, just jumped to how to create a better feeling, right? How do I create a better feeling out of this? Oh, you know, 3,999 people loved it, even though this one person didn't, or whatever. But that's not teaching me how to cultivate my ZG. And that's the whole reason you guys are in this program, right? How to cultivate that knowing that you can handle anything. So if I experience a negative emotion like anxiety or feeling unlovable or unworthy or whatever it is, and then I just try to shift out of it super fast into something good, that's not truly cultivating the knowing that I can handle any emotion. It's knowing that I can switch out of any emotion, but I'm still terrified of handling the emotion. So what I did instead was I just went for a hike. And I'm like, this feels shitty. Like, I'm going to be with this shitty feeling and just kind of explore it. And what I noticed was, and this is usually what happens, when I am thinking about the negative things, like spiraling with the story of like, oh, this, like, can I handle this? This is too much, yada, yada, the feelings get worse. But if I just feel the feeling without adding additional thought to it, without adding additional story to it, that feeling dissipates so much more quickly. So, you know, I'm like spinning and I'm like, fuck, like, why is this taking so long? It's like, oh, I'm adding thoughts to this. So if I just sit with the feeling, you know, rapid heart rate, wanting like muscles ready to run, like that fight or flight kind of response, right? Brain fog, not being able to think straight. Like, what does this feel like? Pressure in my head, vision kind of blurry, whatever it is. If I just sit with that and only that and not create a story about it, about fear or future failure or lovability, if I just feel the feeling, it goes, it passes. You know, modern neuroscience shows us that a pure emotion, meaning an emotion that just arises, lasts about 90 seconds, 90 seconds. So we have the feeling, and if we didn't add thought and story to it, it would just pass in literally 90 seconds. Even the most horrible feeling, like think about a zebra that just got chased by a lion in the Serengeti, right? It's like scared out of its fucking brains, and it runs and it runs and it runs, and it gets away, and what does it do? Shakes it off. Shakes it off, walks it off. That was crazy. All right, back to business. Where's that watering hole? Where's the grab? Right? They can like feel it fully and move through it fully, animals. There's that book, you know, Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers, which is literally related to this. Like, why animals can feel such intense fear. Like, I mean, think about the terror, the absolute terror of having a beast chase you and almost kill you. and they can get over it. And we have an email or a Facebook comment, and it fucks us up, right? I mean, that's so crazy, but it's because of our brains, of our thoughts. So your CTFAR, and I'm going to, in week three, you're going to see a more detailed video about this, but I just want to give you some concepts because some of you are moving really quickly and want to know about this now. So you put your C, your circumstance, in a line. It's neutral. Write it in a neutral way. So comment, my thought, right, my feeling, unlovability, my action, and then my result, right? I don't like myself. I don't love myself. I'm creating evidence for this. But then when you've shown to yourself that you can be with this emotion, not run from it, not resist it, because resisting an emotion actually makes it stronger, right? It's like taking a beach ball and trying to push it underwater. Like, go away, go away, go away. And you can do it. It takes a lot of effort. But the minute you relax, it's going to pop right back up and shoot up out of the water even stronger, right? So you allow the emotion that you're uncomfortable with, and then you can move to a different emotion. So then what I did is I'm like, you work backwards. What's the result, R? What's the result that I do want from this? I want to feel empowered. And what's the action I need to take? Oh, I need to share what I'm learning with others, like I am with you on this call, like when I write a blog post or whatever. What's the feeling I need to have in order to do that? So instead of feeling like shit and cowering, what's the feeling I need to have that will help me write an inspiring blog post or talk to you about this or post something on Facebook that will turn this around? Oh, okay, I need to feel confident that this was meant. So in my mind, and this is going to be different for everyone in every situation, but in my mind, I like to feel confident that this is exactly what was supposed to happen. So that kind of relates to my thought, which is, oh, this is exactly what was supposed to happen so that I can evolve, right? If this person's in post this, I would just be like, la, 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 everything's honky-dory. But because this person posts this and I have the reaction I have, I'm like, hey, this is my edge. This is cool. This is a good thing. Because now, how can I turn this around and teach from it and learn from it and grow from it and evolve from it and make it a place of power? Right? But where it originates is I have to have a different thought about it. Not like, oh, this one person wrote this shitty thing and now I'm not worthy, right? Or I'm not lovable. It's like, oh, this is exactly what was supposed to happen to teach me to take it to the next level. And it's not bullshit, you guys. Everything is neutral, right? Everything is neutral. Everything is neutral. So whenever we create drama around something, that's all us. Someone cheating on us. Someone hurting us. Someone being good to us. Oh, I'm so in love. This person must love me so much. That's a story in the opposite direction. It's all neutral. So we create the story we want from it. By default, we create the story we have a tendency to create, right? Which is what our brains have been taught to create, which is our default mode. So we kind of come from that in our default place. But we can come from the place where we choose what the hell we want to make of anything. And I tell you, when you get over resisting that idea, the world is your oyster. Because you can take anything and turn it around so that you can create the life you were meant to live. So I want you to think about that. CTFAR, circumstance, is neutral. Your thoughts create your feelings, which create your actions, which create your results. Be with the difficult emotion. Learn to do that. And then when you're ready, then what result do you want? R, what actions do you need to take to get that result? That's the A line. what feeling do you need to have to drive that action? Because our feelings are what drive our actions. And what thought do you need to have to create that feeling? Right? So that the next time that circumstance comes up, you can turn it around. CTFAR, and then back the other way. Now, you can't always jump to a new thought very quickly. You need to sometimes do a ladder thought, which I talked a little bit about before. Like, I can't just stick, oh, like, here's the thing. I know and I believe that things happen to me because they're supposed to. But if you're not bought into that yet, you can't really take that as your new thought and have it work for you. You can create a ladder thought, like, I'm open to the idea that this is what was supposed to happen, right? So I'm open to the idea, or I'm willing to consider that this was supposed to happen. So things like that, you can have like a little bridge thought that can help you move through that, okay? So that's the thought work. You're going to learn more about that in week 3, because right now, what I really want you to focus on, and this is so fun, you guys, this working on what is it you want to create. Like, let yourself dream big. And, you know, in the Facebook group, one of the ZG sisters posted how she had this dream, which, you know, a lot of freedom junkies have, about, you know, owning land and then having a farm, or, like, you know, having these animals and having this certain lifestyle. And then she has it. And then, oh, maybe I don't want this anymore. So here's the thing, like, was that a wrong dream? No, because it fucking happened. If it was the wrong dream, it wouldn't have happened. But is she ready for a different dream? Maybe, probably. Or maybe she just needs to do thought work to get over her shit about the current thing. I don't know. Only you guys know that. But here's the thing. Your mind can make whatever situation you're in, whatever you want. So if you want to create something new, go create something new, but come at it from a clean place, right? If you look at the coaching in the Facebook group, you know, I say the good thing about not just switching when you're unhappy, not switching jobs, not switching relationships, not switching locations, is because when you do the thought work first and you realize I could actually be happy in this situation, then when you choose to leave, it's from a clean place. It's like, I want something different, not I think this new thing will make me happy. Because that's a very disempowering victim type of mentality. Like, oh, I'm subject to my place and my circumstance for my happiness. And then we always then perpetuate, because guess what? Our thoughts create everything. So when we come from the mindset like, I can't be happy unless things are X, Y, and Z, then that's what we rely on. But if you're of the mindset, I could be happy in anything, and I'm choosing not to be in this relationship, or and I'm choosing to move, or and I'm choosing to create a different dream, that's a whole new game, man. That's awesome, right? That's a clean place, and you won't create the same bad habits in the next scenario. So I want you to get really clear about what you want, and I don't want you to get hung up on, is this the dream? Just get clear about what you want right now, right? At this point in your life, your dreams will change, right? I wrote a blog post about this, like letting go of outdated dreams. It's like you got to live the dream that you're wanting in the moment, and because you evolve, I mean, if you're wanting to evolve, which most of my clients are, if you didn't want to evolve, you wouldn't want a life coach, right? You wouldn't be in this program. But you know that, you know, you guys, we are part of evolution. We are part of a movement. We aren't just like individuals doing our own thing. We are involved in this crazy experiment of human evolution, just like we lost our tails, just like we developed a prefrontal cortex, just like we started standing up, like, we're part of that evolution, and we're taking it to the level of like, hey, humans, you are no longer a product of your environment, of the, you know, primordial soup that you came out of the place that you were born in. That's part of you, but whoa, the next frontier is our mind, and we can create whatever the fuck we want from it. Whoa, like, let's experiment with that, like this is the next frontier. So of like we're using our consciousness to evolve to the next level where we can actually create whatever we want. I mean, it's pretty amazing and exciting. So create what you want. So dream about what you want. And in the Clarity Week, you know, you're going to be going through some exercises that will help you get clear about the things that you can start getting very detailed about, like the things you want to have. Like you can have actual material objects. Those are not evil. You can choose to have a little shack in the woods. You can choose to have a mansion on the beach. You could choose to have both. I don't give a fuck. Like, but you just get really clear about what that looks like and what that means. You get really clear about how you want to be in the world. Confident. You know, I want to be inspiring. I want to be a leader. I just want to be kind of a quiet leader in the back, like, surprising people with my leadership, or whatever it is. How do you want to be in the world? And then most importantly, how do you want to feel? So when you think, I want a place on the beach, think about how that's going to make you feel and get in touch with that. Because the reason we want anything and the reason we do anything is because of how we think it's going to make us feel, right? That's why we do stupid shit sometimes, not because it makes sense. It's because we think it'll make us feel better, like when we chew out our partner, even though we know it doesn't make any sense, or we know it's totally disproportionate to what happened, we still do it because we think we're going to feel better because of it. So when you think about the beach or the little shack in the woods or whatever it is, keep in mind that what you're really searching for is the way you think it's going to make you feel. So keep in touch with both. It's not that you shouldn't get the house or whatever, but you need to really be in touch with how it's going to make you feel, because that's the most important thing. How you think it's going to make you feel, and get in touch with that especially. So get really clear about that. And if everything seems really overwhelming to you, just narrow it down to one, two, or three feelings. Like if you can narrow it down to one, that's even better. But like, what's the primary thing you want to feel for the next 7 weeks? What do you want to create by the end of 7 weeks? Do you want to feel free? Do you want to feel empowered? Do you want to feel secure? Do you want to feel wild? What is it? Do you want to feel magical? What is it? So at a minimum, do that. Okay. So before I talk too much, I just wanted to open it up to some coaching as well. So if you are on right now, I want you to press star 2 to raise your hand for some live coaching. And in the meantime, because this tends to sometimes take a while for you to raise your hand, again, that's pressing star 2. I won't say your name. I'll just read the last four numbers of your phone number. And then we could do some coaching. And otherwise, I'm going to check on the webcast to see if someone posted any questions and answers, because I see that some folks, oh, wait, someone's saying I don't hear anything. But some of you are still on, so I'm assuming you wouldn't be on for half an hour if you couldn't hear anything. Okay. So anyway, if you have a question and you're on the webcast, you can also post in the question and answer box, okay? So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to go to the Urban Wellness Club, because I know that one of your ZG sisters had a question. So she said, Cindy said, my life had gone completely off balance in favor of career and finances, with no space left for vital self-care, relationships, relaxing, or fun. So I'm completely rebuilding my schedule for work and home. Now I'm starting my mornings with gratitude and a big vibration shift upward, followed by reading something uplifting and then writing for fun. After that, I want to include regular cardio, more time for education, more fun activities, and still have time to run my business and spend a day each week on marketing. It feels overwhelming, but I fucking want it all. How do I integrate it all into my life without making me crazy and running myself ragged? I feel like I'm moving in the right direction, but then I feel overwhelmed again. Is there a better place to pose questions if we can't make the call? No, this is fine. You can also go into, in the future, y'all, you could go into the link for the webcast and post it in the Q&A box, and I'll see it at the time of the call. And that's probably a good way to do that. Okay, great question, Cindy. So, you know, one of the things is make sure that you're watching your thoughts about it, right? So you're saying, like, I feel overwhelmed again. Like, I feel like I'm moving in the right direction, but then I feel overwhelmed. So I'm moving in the right direction isn't a feeling, it's a thought. And then you say, I feel overwhelmed, but that's because a different thought came in, like, I can't handle this, or this is too much. So what is the thought that is leading to that feeling of overwhelm? Okay? Like, you know, in my own personal coaching experience, you know, I've been in groups where someone's like, I feel so overwhelmed, and they're like, you know, a person with no kids, and they are like staying at home, and they're not having to work, and they're feeling super overwhelmed. And then you have another mom who's like 9 kids and is like, I'm feeling overwhelmed. Who's right? No, the person who doesn't have the kids is like just as like able to feel overwhelmed as the person with like 9 kids and working or whatever. It is all a perceived experience. You know, Elizabeth Blackburn from my alma mater, UC San Francisco, she won the Nobel Prize in Medicine for coming up with the realization that telomeres, which are the caps on the end of chromosomes, well, telomeres make chromosomes shorter, which leads to aging. So if the telomeres never trimmed and gave the chromosomes a haircut, we would never age. And she discovered that stress causes the telomeres to get active and trim the chromosomes. So she did a very interesting study in the neonatal intensive care unit at UC San Francisco, and she measured the telomere activity in mothers with infants in the neonatal intensive care unit, all randomized, so, you know, very equal distribution of types of cases between the two groups. And she found that what made the biggest impact on the activity of the telomerase of causing these things to become more active was perceived stress. So it wasn't actual stress. It wasn't like, is your kid actually the most fucking sick kid in the neonatal intensive care unit? It was like, what is your perceived level of stress? And that sped up aging, sped up the telomerase activity, shortened the chromosomes faster. Right? So you could be all depressed about that, like, holy shit, I've been kind of stressed out my whole life. But here's the cool thing. She also discovered later you can decrease that activity and actually help lengthen the fucking chromosomes again. I mean, that's crazy because I used to think it only went in one direction. But your mind is so powerful. Like, I always laugh because I've been in medicine for a long time, right? Since 2002. I started at UCSF getting my nursing degree in 2001, and then I got my master's and my doctorate, yada, yada. But it's like, when I first heard about the placebo effect, you know, prior to that, I'd been a massage therapist, and I was way into, like, integrative medicine and things like that. And people were like, the placebo effect. You know, just giving someone this makes them better. That's like, you know, as if it's some like bullshit response. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, this is like the power of the mind. Why are we discounting this effect of like the power of the mind? In fact, the majority of medications have a stronger placebo effect than the actual activity of the medication. And insurance still covers it and people still take it and deal with the side effects, the adverse effects from it. Okay, so don't underestimate the power of your mind, Cindy. The way you integrate it without making yourself crazy and, quote, running myself ragged is by managing your thoughts. So, you know, when I was in the situation of, like, oh, poor me. I have a kid. I'm the primary breadwinner. My husband's gone 3.5 months a year for fun so he can go paragliding. And he's gone a lot of weekends and a lot, most afternoons and evenings, actually. Poor me, poor me. Like, there's a lot of objective data there that would validate that, but it wasn't helpful, so I had to turn it around, right? So same here. So you have all these things you got to do, and you just need to say, I'm choosing this, right? There's like a quote, I can't remember who said it right now, but it's like, accepting what's ever happening in the present moment as if you chose it. So just like whatever's happening, accept it as if you chose it. And technically, in your scenario, you are. We all are. We can get up and say, I have to make dinner. I have to, like, go to work. I have to do this. I have to eat this way. Poor me, because of my autoimmune condition. Or, oh, blah, blah, blah. Or, like, my husband doesn't want to have sex with me. Poor me, right? But the reality is, that's not true. That's all bullshit. You could actually eat however the fuck you want. You're an adult. You could have sex with someone else if you wanted. You're an adult. You could not make dinner. You could just pick up McDonald's every day and bring it home. Oh, but wait, we don't want to do those things. Well, hell no, that's a different story than I have to do this XYZ. You don't want to do the other things. You're choosing it. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. You're choosing to do these things. Look at it as a good thing. Look at it as an empowering thing. And in terms of coaching on the A line, action line, I think I said something similar on the last call with someone that maybe it was related to your comment, but you need to plan it first. And you need to plan a specific time frame for all this to happen. You know, I see what you wrote here, and you're like, I want to do fun activities. I want to write for fun. I want to read. I'm going to shift my vibration. Good. Be very specific about how much time all of that's going to take. I basically allow myself like 2 hours in the morning to meditate, exercise, and do like my mindset shift stuff, right? It's like I get up at 5:30. I meditate for at least half an hour, sometimes longer, maybe sometimes only 20 minutes. Whatever, if I sleep in, I only meditate 10 minutes. But whatever it is, I meditate because I do my best meditations when I first wake up in the morning. And then I do some exercise, and then I do some journaling. I decide what my top 3 priorities are for the day. I decide what one thing I am for sure accomplishing for the day, because even though I have my top 3 priorities, I need to know what's the one thing that could have the most return on investment for that day. So I think about, you know, what's the most important thing for me to do today? So if I've been feeling disconnected from my family, I prioritize that. The one thing I'm going to do today is this. If I feel like I've been ignoring my business, okay, the one thing I'm going to do that will really up-level it today is going to be this. So decide on the one thing, decide it that day, and decide in your mind that it's as good as done, right? As soon as you decide something like that is going to happen, it's as good as done. And it'll really help take it to the next level. Okay, I'm going to go in here and check if anybody's raised their hand. So *2 to raise your hand. Let me see here. Sorry, I'm doing this like on my phone because I'm in Italy, as you all know. And so everything's kind of a little bit more epic logistically here. I'm in like the middle of nowhere, but it happens to have like cell service, which I'm so grateful for and made sure about in advance. Okay. The other Facebook post here, let me see. It was by our lovely ZG sister. I'm trying to pull her post up here. You know, it was about relationship. And, you know, when we're breaking up and really finding ourselves and trying to really reconnect and not lose ourselves in relationships. And one of your ZG sisters was talking about how she really wants to focus on the next 7 weeks with, you know, reinvigorating writing her book. She has some chapters she's written. She needs to send them in to the publisher. She wants to finish it, completing the illustrations and doing all of this stuff. And in essence, she wants to develop consistent writing again and recreate her own life. So this happens to us a lot, right? Like we can lose touch with our own passions because our brains as women are wired to care about other people's happiness because our particular survival back in the tribal days, in the Neanderthal days, you know, even pre-verbal days, was not based on the ability to hunt. It was based on the ability to let people like us and to cultivate that sense of community and to help other people feel involved and to help other people see that we were worth keeping around because as females in the tribe, we could be ostracized more readily, right? And that was death. Back then, being ostracized literally was death, D-E-A-T-H. And it is in some tribal communities still to this day. The worst thing that could possibly happen is if people don't like you and they decide that you're done. Okay, what's ironic to me though is in the communities that I have visited, like when I was working in certain areas of Africa in refugee camps and whatnot, the tribes that I became familiar with who were like that are actually very quick to forgive, very quick to understand people's shortcomings. It's like they didn't want to ostracize anyone. So it's like, oh, you fucked up. Like, come, let's work on forgiving you because we all need that. If I forgive you readily, you'll forgive me readily, right? There's a great story I heard Jack Kornfield tell about how in South Africa, you know, there were communities that were living together when the person in the community had killed another person's parents during a period of conflict. But the understanding of we need to forgive, we need to move on was so important that that became the priority, right? So it makes sense that we want so much to work towards people liking us and towards people wanting to accept us. But then we lose ourselves and we don't get the same benefits that, you know, people did before in terms of that unconditional love and acceptance and welcoming into the tribe and the support and all of that as readily. We can cultivate that, but it's not as readily available in our current, most of our current structures for most of us in the group right now. So when you want to commit to an action, like a book or a paper and getting shit done, right? Like whatever it is, your health, becoming more brave, getting more in touch with your wild nature, whatever that is, the key thing is not to wait to feel like doing it. I feel like one of the biggest mistakes people make is they say, oh, but I wasn't in the mood. Or, oh, I didn't really feel like it, right? You got to just do that shit anyway. This is one of the things that mountaineering really taught me. I'm just so grateful that I got into climbing and stuff, like in my teenage years, like in college, like 19. I was actually 18, 19. And then because prior to that, I just played basketball. I had no idea what camping was. You know what's funny is I thought, you know when you're driving on like an expressway and there's a little median in the middle with grass on it? I used to think like, why isn't anybody having a picnic there? It looks so nice. You know, sometimes they would have flowers. I mean, literally, I spent so little time in nature. I was like, why aren't people having picnics on the median on the freeway? And then fast forward like to 18 and 19, and I'm like backpacking in the Sierra naked and shit like that, right? But so I don't even know where I was going with that. But my point being, hold on, I'm trying to like pull up my recording here and make sure that I can see your guys' questions. So you want to just commit and make sure that you're just going to do it no matter what. Because when I was climbing and when I was mountaineering, it was like I would wake up in the middle of the night at 2 a.m. to go climb a peak, and the last fucking thing I wanted to do is get out of my sleeping bag. But it's like you just know that if you do it, you're going to feel good about yourself. One, because you said you were going to do something and you do it. And two, because in general, those things we commit to are good for us, right? Writing the book, getting up to work out, meditating, whatever it is. Those things tend to be good for us. So you want to just say, I'm not even going to argue with myself. This shit is non-negotiable, just like going to work is non-negotiable for most of us, right? Some people that have a problem with this also have a really hard time with working from home because they have no one to hold them accountable. And so they're like, what? Like, I can just do whatever I want because I don't have anybody watching over me and I don't do a good job watching over myself. So I'm saying, stop making it about waiting for you to feel like doing it. So now some of you may be thinking, wait a minute, Anna, you were just saying that our feelings drive our actions. So if I'm not feeling motivated, how am I supposed to take action? Well, here's the thing. You're not going to resist feeling, like let's say you have fear of writing the book, right, because it might get rejected. And so you have fear, and so you're procrastinating and whatnot. I'm not saying to, like, resist the fear and push it away and think of a totally new thought to write. What I'm saying is let the fear be there, but then generate a new thought for a different feeling that will at least get you to take the action of writing. And here's the thing. Your results won't be as good as it would be without the fear, because that fear is still going to be there, and it's still going to affect the quality of the work you do and the energy behind it. Maybe it's only perceptible to you, though. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a big, obvious thing. But when you do something that you said you were going to do, that is the most important thing at this stage in the game. Because when you've had a history of saying you're going to do something and not doing it, then that's going to create a lack of self-respect and a lack of self-reliance. And then on top of the fear, you're going to have the drama of, oh, am I going to actually do what I say I'm going to do? That's the drama you don't fucking need. So first, you need to show yourself that you have your own back. And that you're going to show up and do the shit that you want to do. And then you can work on the fear. But there's no sense in choosing to work on the fear if you're not even going to write the fucking book. So show yourself that you're going to follow through on what you say you're going to do. Then that removes the drama of, you know, why don't I ever do what I say I'm going to do? Why can't I follow through on my word? Fuck that. Stop that. Now, today, done. This is not your game anymore. When you say you're going to do something, you're going to fucking do it. No ifs, ands, or buts. Just do it. Just like you get up and go to work when you don't feel like it. You don't show up an hour late to work like, sorry, it just took me a while to like get in the mood. No, you fucking do it. Well, guess what? You're doing that to build someone else's dream. Whoever owns that corporation you're working for, how about doing that same for your dream, right? That's who should be getting the priority, your dream. Show up for yourself just like you would for somebody else's dream, okay? All right. We're almost at the end of the hour here. I'm going to press the refresh button here and see who all might have a question. Star 2 to raise your hand. I don't see anybody. There's like 18 people on right now. No one's raising their hand. Let me see if someone typed in a new question. on the question and answer box. Okay, this person said, what if I want to do 50 new things, like get up and meditate and work out and write the book? Do you need to add them all at once? Well, you know, what I would say is start off small and show yourself that you can do it first with the small things. Like, pick your top three. If you listen to my call from last week, I talk about a keystone habit. So, like, mine was going to bed between 9:30 and 10. And if I could do that, my whole day was set for the rest of the day. But then for a while, it was not over-drinking, because over-drinking would throw off everything, my bedtime, my sleep quality, my energy level the next day, whatever. So what I would do is definitely do it for your keystone habit. Maybe that's getting to bed, or maybe that's meditating, whatever your keystone habit is. So you're talking about here meditating, writing the book, working out, etc. Pick out of the 50 things, what's the one, two, or three things that would make the biggest difference? And if you are a notorious, if you notoriously don't follow through for yourself, I would just pick one thing and just show yourself that you could do that one thing for a week. And then add another thing. See, sometimes we get super excited and we want to do like the 10 things and then we go, see, I didn't do it, right? So what I would recommend is, I tell this to the people in my Drink Less, Feel Free course too, because a lot of people are drinking like 6 drinks a night or 7 drinks a night or 5 drinks a night. And then they're like, I'm going to just drink one. And I'm like, okay, look. Like, that's a little extreme. Let's first, for a whole week, let's just have you try having one or having 3 or 4, right? Just like, or if you notoriously do 6, let's go to 5. Just pick a number that is different, that is better than what you've been doing, and do that just so that you can show yourself that you can show up for yourself, that you have your own back, that you will follow through on your word, that you can make a plan and stick to it, because then you cultivate self-respect and self-reliance. You know, it's like, oh, like one of the things that pisses me off the most about like acquaintances or like when I'm sussing out a friendship potential, it's like if somebody says they're going to do something and then they flake on me, I'm like, fuck that. Like, that's the last thing I need. That just totally pisses me off because I don't do that. I'm like so solid with, I'm going to do that. Okay, I'm going to do it. And so, you know, and that's because I do that for myself. And so you should not pick like 50 things and then do them. First, show yourself that you can pick something and stick to it for a week. Then add another thing. And here's the thing. Also ask yourself, you know, why is it you want to do these 50 things? How do they want to make you, how do you think it's going to make you feel? And then it may seem overwhelming, like I got 50 things to do. How many things do you think Oprah has on her list? How many things do you think Gandhi had on his list? How many things do you think anybody who does anything fucking intense in this world have on their list? It's like a big fucking list, right? They're, I tell you, like the people that I mentioned, they have way more shit on their list than I ever will. We all have the same amount of hours in a day. We spend so much time doing shit that doesn't matter. Surfing on the internet, looking at our phones, watching Netflix, like dicking around, talking bullshit to people, wasting time gossiping. We waste so much time doing things. We have so much time in our day that we waste. Right? We still have it, like most people who aren't like crazy attorneys or something don't have like, you know, 16-hour days. So most of us sleep 8 hours. Actually, most Americans chronically sleep less. We're like one of the most sleep-deprived nations in the world. And then we have work, right? 8 hours for most people, maybe 9, maybe 10. We stop all this other time in the day. What the fuck are we doing with it? So, no more excuses. Decide on 1, 2, or 3 things that'll make the biggest difference. Show yourself you can do those. And then you can start adding to your list. The most important thing right now in cultivating Ziji, that radiant inner confidence, is to show yourself that you're going to say you're going to do something and do it. But, you know, you have to practice. You can't just jump ahead. Like what I was talking about with the drink less course. Like people can't go from 6 drinks to like 1 drink just all of a sudden. It's first they need to show that they can make a plan and stick to it. Once you've got that, then you can start kind of pushing the comfort zone a bit and all of that. So I hope that that helps you in narrowing it down. All right. Let me see here. I am refreshing. So somebody said here, any tips for keeping all this at the forefront of our thoughts? I do the exercises and love how I feel during and after. Then I return to changing diapers and chasing kids and find that I quickly lose touch with the feelings of excitement or clarity or peace that I get while going through the worksheets and exercises. And pretty soon, I can't even recall what the exercises were about. Okay, so one of the things is to, great question, by the way, but one of the things is to recognize that life is 50-50. You are going to forget how it feels. You are going to feel crazy and distracted and overwhelmed when you have kids running around in diapers and shit like that to do. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong because you were feeling clarity one moment and chaos another moment. Nothing wrong happened there. So do you see the story you're telling yourself there? You're saying, oh, I felt so good, and then I felt, like, funky. There's nothing wrong with that. That's life. When we pretend that life is supposed to feel good all the time, that's when we get into trouble. When we say, oh, of course I'm feeling overwhelmed right now. I'm chasing around kids with diapers and shit. Ha-ha. Like, that's the way it's supposed to be. Not like, oh, no, I was feeling so clear, and now I'm not. Like, no, just be like, hey, of course, this totally makes sense because I'm running around and I'm going to make some time again. So what I would recommend is I also totally understand what you're saying because, like, for example, when I came off my silent meditation retreat, it was like I was feeling so great, right? Like, oh, yeah, I got this. And then it's like, wait, everything is too loud and there's too much going on and people want too much of me and what are all these questions? I loved being silent and no one talking to me and me not talking to anyone. And so what you can do, though, is commit to creating that space to touch base again. Because the more you do it throughout the day, the more you're going to be able to feel connected to that throughout the day. The more that you'll trust that when things are crazy and you're running around trying to put diapers on kids, you are also going to know that you can go back to the way you were feeling before. It's just not always going to feel like that, right? As long as you're a human being with a human brain in a human body amidst other humans who are still working on their shit too, life is 50-50. Even when you're enlightened, right? Like I've debated this question a lot, like, you know, oh, like, what about the Dalai Lama? Does he get pissed? Does he get angry? Like, you know, he's got such a strong meditation practice and he's so spiritually evolved. He's like, of course I get pissed. Of course I get angry and this and that. But it's fleeting. It's quick. So as we progress, the negative feelings can move more quickly through us. They don't go away. They just move more quickly through us so that they don't throw us off as much. And then maybe then the balance can start shifting. But, you know, most of us humans are going to deal with life being 50-50, and that's okay. Because what's ironic is when you're cool with the 50% that doesn't feel amazing, it doesn't bother you as much either. It's when we resist it. I'm not supposed to be feeling this. I'm supposed to be feeling calm and cool and collected and clear. That's when it really gets on our nerves. But when you start saying, hey, this is how life is. This is how being a mom is sometimes, and it's okay. I'm going to create that that home base that I can come to. So the other thing is to do these practices first thing in the morning and first thing, or and the last thing before you go to bed, because those are the most impressionable times on our brains. I said that last week too, but you want to do these practices. Like I always imagine what I want and how it's going to make me feel as if it's happening in the present moment. I do that every morning and I do it every night before I go to bed, because that creates a deep impression on our minds. And then throughout the day, maybe, you know, if you're a busy mom and working and all that, maybe it's just during your lunch hour for like 10 minutes or something, you know, just dropping into that. And then you could use Think Up, it's like an app where you can write an affirmation that'll pop up on your phone and remind you to think it throughout the day. And so those are ways to help you stay in touch. So don't resist and create those very important touchstones for you in the morning, in the evening, and another time or more during the day that you can count on it, okay? All right, y'all. That's it. We're at the hour. Let me just make sure that no one else added something while I was chatting there. I don't see it there. Let me just see if anybody else has any questions here. Star 2 to raise your hand if you want anything live. All right. So we're looking good, you guys. Oh, wait. Who's that? Last four numbers, 4284. I'm going to unmute you right now. All right. Hello. How are you doing? Who's this?
Can you hear me?
Uh-oh. Yeah. I can hear you. What's going on?
You can. Cool.
About another time, but I am still working on how to prioritize between the 50 options, which somebody else asked about also. We have 100 ideas for our lives or our day, how to deal with choosing those top three priorities.
Yeah, so give me a specific example.
Well, in my life, I want to travel. I want to be home with my kid. I want to run this farm. I want to have time to exercise and journal and spend time with friends and meditate and, you know, on and on. And in any given moment and month or year, which one should I really be focusing my energy on, or which five should I focus my energy on?
Do you know which ones are the most valuable to you right now? Like in terms of the Keystone habit? Okay.
No, I think there's a lot of work to do. I don't really expect a quick answer on this. It's a big question.
So here's the thing. What I would do is take the time, like have someone watch your kids or whatever, and let yourself get really clear about your ideal day. Okay? There's an activity in the upcoming week about creating your ideal day. So this isn't your like perfect day, like I'm going to rent a private jet and then fly to Australia and then dive in the Great Barrier Reef and then I'm going to go climbing in the Pyrenees or something like that. That's not what it is. This is like with the current life you have, what would be an ideal day? Okay, like you get up and you have this much time for yourself and blah, blah, blah. And then as you allow yourself to really get clear without excuses, without like some other voice coming in saying, no, that's not unreal, that's not realistic, da, da, da. Just write out your ideal day and then give yourself permission to do that, to ask for what you want during that activity. You'll become more clear about what's really important to you in the mornings. Because, like, when we're just shooting the shit, like, right now, or with our friends, like, yeah, I wish I could do that, da-da-da. But then, like, sometimes what we need is actually a lot more simple. than what we think. And so if you could just allow yourself the time and the space for this activity, I'm guessing that your own inner knowing will speak up and will make it more clear to you what you actually need to focus on. And like I said, you know, what I do is I wake up in the morning and if I just looked at my to-do list, I would just be like, fuck it. Like, there's no way I'm going to get all that done. But what I do decide is, what's the one thing I need to do today? And so that's another thing that might be really helpful for you, is just to wake up in the morning, create your affirmations, create that feeling that you're wanting to generate, and ask yourself from a compassionate place, because not just from like, what's the most productive thing I could do today, but like, hey, like, put your hand on your heart and say, what do you most need today? That's what you need to be focusing on. Does that make sense?
Well, the words make sense. Applying it's harder, but there's time.
Always.
I think the way you said something was helpful to me just now was that almost that it's an experiment. So make your best guess, do it, and see how it feels. Right?
Yes. And you know, this is where I talk about clarity through action, and I'm glad you said that, because that's one thing I wanted to say to Ayana, who also had posted in the – I don't even know is this Ayana on the phone? I don't think so. Is it?
Yeah, this
I didn't
is
show up on it. Oh, okay.
I just keep talking
okay.
and talking to you.
No, it's okay. But it's that clarity through action thing. So it's like the where you're like, oh, now I have this. Do I want this? Like, no judgment. Sometimes the only way we know if we want something is by doing it. Literally. Like, that's the only way we know. And so it's like, oh, did that? Okay. Like, this is what I think about that now. So I would focus on really keeping it simple right now, because you have so many cool options. Like, you have so many great possibilities that just keep everything to one. What is the one thing my heart is really wanting me to do today? What is the one thing I want to consistently do this week? Like, and not letting yourself go to the whole 50s thing yet, just really experimenting with keeping it simple for now. For now. Trust me, we'll take it to the next level in a little bit. But I think that would be helpful, okay?
Thank you.
All right. You're so welcome. Okay. You guys never feel bad about asking questions. That's how we're all learning from each other, right? It's so crazy. Like, you have this great opportunity. Take it. Use it. Do it. I am going to stop the recording, and you guys will get the replay of this in the webinar section, so go ahead and check it out there. We're going to have another call next week, but in the meantime, if you have any questions, write it in the Facebook group, and I will answer it. Ask as many questions as you want. Ask whatever you want. You guys are doing great. There's a lot of information here, so just keep digging at it. Keep going for it. Don't fire hose it if it's not working for you. And thank you so much for showing up. Bye, all.
Bye.